she and I had the privilege of being able to speak back on September 29th. Her last episode aired. I am very pleased to welcome back Miss Erin Copeland.
Yay, I'm so excited to be back. It's so much fun when you have such a connection with a host, and sometimes it's sad when it ends. And so when we had another topic, we're like, we can do it again. Like, I was really excited. So I'm happy to be back.
I'm just really happy to have you. I mean, you've got such a beautiful energy about you. You're so vibrant and just such a fun, wonderful person.
So. I appreciate that. Thank you. Right back at you, man.
And, you know, if people are wanting to know your backstory, we do have that from the previous episode. They're welcome to go over there and check it out and listen to it. We won't have to get into a whole lot of that today because you already talked about all that stuff.
I did.
Yeah. But we're here to talk about something else today, which was your first mission in your projects, what it is that you were working on. And the book ended up being written first, but...
Right. And they kind of came out together. So I am the author of Welcome to Caregiving, The Things Caregivers Never Talk About. And that is precisely what the book is about. Because I feel like caregivers don't share their experiences a lot and very openly, because it's not really about the caregiver. It's about the patient. And so we kind of keep all those feelings inside. And so that's where Welcome to Caregiving came from. But what my heart wanted to create first was an organizational tool for caregivers and patients. Because when my husband had his liver transplant, and now that was 7 years ago, he's been cancer-free for 3 years now, but all of these doctors and specialists were coming into the hospital rooms, and I was trying to keep track of what was going on, and there were complications and things going on. Nobody knew what was happening. And I was writing notes on the backs of some receipts from my purse, because I just didn't have a system. I wasn't organized. I didn't have anything. And then I was trying to remember, oh, what did this specialist say and tell us to do? And now a different specialist is telling us something else. And the information clogged my brain. It clogged my brain completely. And that's where the idea for the patient handbook came from. And for the audience who is viewing, I'm going to hold up the little binder now. So I actually created it as a binder system, because sometimes you're done with a project. I'm calling it a project. Maybe that phase of the caregiving is done. You can take it out. Maybe it's ongoing. You need to add pages. I know your brain is not like my brain, and you might need things organized in a different way. And so the binder lets you do that. And I also made it small so it can fit in a tote without being a gigantic, huge, giant thing.
Got enough stuff to carry when you're going in and out of hospital visits.
So much. And even I use it. I had someone reach out to me that was going through IVF, and they were like, oh my gosh, where was this when I first started this process, just to keep track of all their records. I use it for, I have chronic kidney disease. So I'm not in and out of the doctor a lot, but I have my annual appointments with all of my people, my specialists, my general practitioner, the gynecologist, all the things. And I keep this book with me to keep track of myself.
Yeah. Well, so you get to remember what you guys talked about last year. I'd be lucky to remember what you guys talked about a month ago.
Yeah, I can't remember. And electronics are amazing. I love my phone. It's got so many apps and so much data. But can I tell you how many times I was either at the hospital, or my husband also receives care through the VA, and I'd be in there and the Wi-Fi didn't work. And so I couldn't pull up the list of medications he was currently taking because the app couldn't get a signal to open. And so sometimes we just need paper.
Yes.
We just need paper. We just need paper.
So were you able to talk to medical providers and stuff when you were going through this and ask them what they thought about it, or if there's anything that you should add or leave out?
You know, it's interesting. I really created it from the caregiver's perspective. And as a patient, I use it as well. But the goal of the tool is to be able to get in tune with yourself, or have the patient get in tune with what they're feeling in their body. And I have in one of my sections, I have the body scan checklist, and I'm just going to hold up here. It has a silhouette of the human body, and it has different items, just a list of different things. Like, are you having hair loss, weight loss? Like, how are you feeling? Like, different things that are going on, so that when you get in front of the doctor, you know what's happening in your body. Because I don't know if any of your listeners get white coat syndrome, but I will tell you, the minute the doctor walks in, it's like when you go to the mechanic and the thing that's making the noise isn't making the noise anymore.
Yes, been there, done that.
And then the minute I walk out of the building, I have forgotten everything they told me.
Yep.
And so by having this tool, it lets a caregiver say to the patient, hey, let's take a couple minutes before the doctor comes in, or even the night before, hey, we're going to the doctor tomorrow. How are you feeling? Like, what's going on? And then there's a section to write down all of those questions, and a place to write down what the doctor says. And it is very interesting, because I've had some people report back to me that the doctors are very supportive and like, yes. And there have been some doctors that have said, what is that? What are you doing? You do not need to write this down. And it makes them very nervous. And so I have found that very, very interesting.
Yeah. I wonder how many have had issues with people writing things down incorrectly and then trying to misquote them.
That can be misunderstanding, like so many.
Yeah. And you know, I bet you they have a little bit of trauma from that too.
Yeah.
You know, somebody saying, no, you said, I even wrote it down, and they've got it wrong.
Yeah.
But it totally makes sense to need to write this down, because we're not going to retain absolutely everything that they're saying to us. When you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, they're going to tell you like a specific regime, you know, do this twice a day and do this three times a day. You're not going to know which one is which. And you're going to be lucky if you remember what the second one is at all, because you're so focused on trying to remember what that first one was.
And sometimes they're not readily available if you have the question. Like if you get home and it's evening, you're like, oh, wait, what was I supposed to adjust this medication? They told me to increase it, but by how much? And then you can't always get them right away. Yeah. And so being able to record it and write it down, I found it's been also really helpful for patients who have multiple caregivers. So the book can stay with the patient. But if, let's say, I'm taking a parent to an appointment and the next week my sister is taking them, they know what I know, because it's all together, and it's not kind of lost in the cloud in cyberspace. It's right there. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you mentioned something about when something is ongoing, you can always add in more pages. Do you have those separate pages available as well, so that people can just purchase more?
I do. I have the original binder system set up as a starter kit, and then people can buy the different sections as they need more. So like I just put out the 2024 calendar, because there's an actual full paper calendar in there, because like when my husband was in the hospital, it was really helpful for me to write down, like, checked into the hospital, and I would like in these days and out these days, and this is when the specialist came. Because when the medical super bill comes and you're trying to figure that out, it's like, wait, what happened? Because you're living this trauma, and the brain just isn't always our friend when you're living a trauma and you're worried. Like, I didn't know if my husband was going to die. And so having everything in one place for me was really important, and being able to communicate more effectively was really important to me. And so I have the paper calendar. I just put that out. And so, but like if people buy at the end of 2023, they get the 2023 calendar as a bonus, so that they can start using it right away, and then 2024 to carry them through the year. So I do that every year. I've got the appointments notes pages, where you can write down your questions and the doctor's responses. That's a separate package. I've got things bundled, so there's all kinds of options.
Oh, very cool. How long did it take you to put all this together?
I actually did it at the same time that I wrote my book. So a lot of it was just it was in my head. I had a fantastic graphic designer that I have worked with for years and years. And so she occupies a special like part of my brain. Like she just knows me. And so when I was able to tell her what I was trying to create and put out there, she really created a beautiful, beautiful product for me.
Oh, I look at it right now. I can see it on your website, which for the people that are looking for it, it's erincopeland.com is the website.
Erin with an E, Copeland, no D.
Yes. ErinCopeland.com. And they can head over there. They can check out the resources page, which is where you'll see both of the books, the Welcome to Caregiving book and the Welcome to Caregiving Patient Handbook. These are really cool. I mean, the design is very simple. It's easy to read, but it's really eye-catching.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
It is really cool.
Yeah, I really wanted it to be fun for people. You know, even the last section in the book, I called it the love notes section. And they're blank lined pages. Maybe you need more notes to write down what doctors are saying. But maybe I envisioned it being almost an exchange of loving words between the patient and the caregiver, like little secret messages, like thinking of you today, or you know, something nice to say to the caregiver you're sharing duties with, or even just the place to write down like where you parked the car. Because I can't tell you how many times I lost the car at the hospital. Like, don't know what level I'm on. Don't know. You know, I was the person wandering around with, you know, the beeper on the car, setting off my alarm, trying to find my car.
Oh my gosh. I did that at Costco.
Right. When you're not in the living a trauma. Yeah. Although going to Costco might be a special trauma all of its own.
Yeah. Especially for an introvert.
Yeah, I hear that.
So how many different sections do you have in your handbook?
There are 2, 3, 4. There's 4 official sections. I have a section for contacts to keep all of your medical contacts and specialists, the calendar section, which I talked about, that's a full 12-month calendar, the wellness section, which has that body scan checklist and the appointment notes. It also has a place to write down all of those prescriptions. And again, if you have a printout, the binder system lets you like 3-hole punch it and put it in there so it can stay together. And then I have the love notes section for extra notes and just sharing love.
That's fantastic. How much good feedback have you gotten from people? Are they just like clamoring to get
your so book? Much. It's so nice to hear when people get a chance to use it and get into it. I've had people who are living with chronic pain, and they have messaged me just because they're going through that process too, of these different specialists and just trying to figure out like what's happening in their bodies. And so to be able to have something with everything all in one place that has their notes and their questions and their progress, there's something really lovely too about going through the past year and saying, wow, I started at this place that really wasn't great, and look at where I've come, how far I've come, and the progress that I've made. And maybe I'm not 100%, but look at all the work that we've done and all the progress that we've made. So there's something that is really special about that. That's kind of a byproduct I hadn't anticipated.
Yeah. You get to see your own progress, even on the days that you feel like you've made none.
Yeah.
You can look back at the very beginning and say, no, I really have come a long way, and I'm on the right track. I just need to keep going.
Yep.
And sometimes that's all people really need, is that little bit of encouragement just to keep going.
Absolutely. One day at a time, 1 minute at a time. One foot in front of the other.
Do you have a favorite part?
The appointment notes is by far my favorite part. Just having that space to write down what questions I have, and then on the flip side, what the doctor says I need to do about it. And then my favorite part of it, right at the bottom, I left a little spot for gratitude. And so it just right at the bottom, it says, today I'm grateful for. Because sometimes in those moments, especially in those moments when you're worried because you're focused on all the things that are wrong and all the questions and just that ick feeling, just taking that moment of gratitude can really change your perspective and reset your mind and just make things flow a little bit easier.
Do you still have all those old receipts from where you were having to jot things down? Did you ever transcribe?
I have some of them, and I have, like, I had tried a variety of notebooks and like weird college calendars and things. I'm like, none of this is right. These boxes are too small. This isn't. And so I do have a lot of those. I referred back to many of them when I wrote my book.
Yeah. Has anybody reached out and said, hey, can you add this or that to the book?
I have. I've had some. What's coming to mind initially, like I had a breast cancer survivor come in and, you know, with things that are very specific to breast cancer treatment for specific sections. And then even things like, oh, you could put a thing of post-it notes in here and a clip there. And like, there's so much possibility, and I'm looking forward to expanding it into more. There's just so much possibility.
Oh, that is so cool. So when was this officially released?
I feel like it, did I release it the same day as my book? It may have been the month after. So that it also came out in March or April, 2022.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's been out for about a year and a half now. You've already got all this positive feedback.
Yeah.
Things are going great for you.
Amazing. Amazing.
And great for your husband, which is super cool.
Yes. Yes, he is fantastic. So, yep, he just went for scans last week. And so scans came back clear. He goes at least once a year for his follow-up scans. So we got another year of clear scans in the books.
Fantastic. How many years you guys been married?
Oof, we've been together, I think, 27 years.
So. My word.
Yeah.
Yeah. And going through something like, you don't look old enough, by the way, to be with somebody for 27 years.
Thank you. Thank you.
But going through something with somebody, you know, and being their caretaker, did this bring you guys closer together? Did you notice a change in your relationship? Did it kind of make you drift apart for a while?
There was definitely a recovery portion and kind of reclaiming the romantic portion of our relationship back, because I very much fell into nurse role of, that's the best way to say it, of like, I'm taking care of you, keeping you alive, versus like flirty, lovely, romantic Erin. And so having both of us get back into having a more intimate husband-wife relationship versus me just bossing him around.
Versus there is nothing sacred.
Right? He's the one that says, there is no modesty in medicine. Like the story, some of the stories in the book. There were a couple in there that he thankfully let me publish, but he was like, can we not talk about those in the speaking engagements? Maybe just leave those in the book, please, Erin.
Has he given you permission to talk about them if somebody asks questions?
If somebody asks questions, I can. But there are some interesting side effects to transplants and I'm sure other major surgeries that people don't tell you.
Oh, and I'll leave it at
that. Listeners, you'll just need to read the book for those, because I told him I wouldn't. You're just gonna have to read it.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. I had a friend that was going through pancreatic cancer for a while that I was taking care of. And we'd been very close for a very long time, but we got really close when I was his caretaker. Yeah,
absolutely. And my mom when she was caring for her father, and it shifts relationships. Absolutely. It shifts relationships.
And it can change it in so many different ways and so many unexpected ways. You would think that it would automatically draw people to closer, but so often it's exactly the opposite. It drives people apart because you're in each other's face all the time and you do have to be that boss. Mm-hmm. You have to tell them what to do and when to eat and how much to eat and, you know, don't stop eating, drink more water.
Yeah. Did you take your pills? Did you? Yes. No, you can't have that. You can't, like, it gets... Yeah. And when a caregiver gets tired and they're frustrated, sometimes they lose the compassion in their voice. There's a story I just came off of a speaking engagement, and I shared a story. My husband had forgotten like literally the months I had been driving him to work, and he was at work, and he just got up one day and was like, I need to go to work. I haven't been there. And it crushed me. I was like, what are you talking about? I was furious. And I didn't handle it with grace, and I didn't handle it with much compassion, because I was so exhausted and so wounded, and like, how can you not know I've been doing all of this? How do you not remember? But he didn't. He had way better drugs than me.
Does he remember?
I didn't get any. I didn't get any, and he got all the good drugs.
Does he remember that incident now?
He does. He remembers the moment. He remembers the incident, but you know, he still didn't know that I had been taking him to work for all of these weeks and months, and this whole routine that we had, that it really was a blank for him. But he remembers that moment, I think, because I was so sharp and so stern with him, like, what it was. Yeah, but he remembers.
So Erin, what is next for you?
Is next? You know, I've been having so much fun speaking to different groups about caregiving and really spreading this message. I just spoke to the Society for Transplant Social Workers in San Diego at their national convention. And so it was just so special to be with that group who are working every day with transplant patients, and they don't necessarily know this side of the experience for them, for the caregivers or the patient. And so I was able to give an hour keynote presentation, and it just was so well received. And so the more that I can share that message with people in person, I love doing things in person now, you know, being able to travel and share that energy and vibration with people and answer questions and learn more about what the caregiving community needs in these little facets, because transplant is different from breast cancer, and it's all so personalized and individual that I just love meeting with people.
The in-person stuff, there's just no substitute for it.
Yeah.
I would have to agree. Well, it's about that time where I'm almost going to have to ask my last question of the episode. It's always my favorite question, if you remember that one, and it changes every time. But before I do that, do you have anything else that you would like to add or leave the audience with?
I mean, I'm feeling very complete. I encourage your listeners and viewers to visit my website, because I'm always adding resources. And maybe if you're not a caregiver yourself, you know somebody who is. And so I have different resources for the community outside of the caregivers to be able to help support them so that they feel less alone. So I encourage everyone to visit my website.
Seriously, it's a gorgeous website. Everything all branded very nicely, all matches. Oh, I love it. It makes my OCD happy. So Erin, I know it's going to be different than you answered last time, but what is one thing that you love about yourself, not related to your physical appearance?
Not related to my physical appearance. I'm going to twist this in some way. So I don't know if your viewers can see it, but I have my fairy hair back right now. And so I love my ability to be open to having strands of tinsel in my hair and the conversation it brings to people, and it makes people laugh and it makes me laugh. And laughter. I'm going with laughter.
If you've enjoyed tonight's episode, please make sure you check out the episode description. You'll find links there on how you can learn more about this guest, to connect with them on social media, and how to support the podcast. Remember, I don't get paid to do this. My boss is a bit tight-fisted, but I can say that. I work for myself.